Welcome to the Accent Africa audio recordings. This session is called the Pentecostal Bible School and is taught during an Acts 1-8 conference in Lesotho, Africa by Dr. Denny Miller in January of 2014. We hope you enjoy the teaching and would love to hear your comments. You may contact us at accentafrica@agmd.org.
Let's talk about the Pentecostal Bible School. This is a very good subject because we're meeting in a Pentecostal Bible School. In a national church, there is nothing more important than a well-functioning Pentecostal Bible School. During those years that we spent in Malawi, we saw the church grow from 160 churches to over 2,000 churches. The revival began in the Bible school. And it spread to the whole country. And then as we experienced revival in the country, it fed students back into the Bible school. And so this issue of Pentecostal Bible School is very, very important. These are the four things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the mission of the Pentecostal Bible School. We're going to talk about the ethos or the culture of a Pentecostal Bible School. That's a word you may not hear very often, but it means culture. We're going to talk a bit about curriculum. And we're going to talk about the spiritual life of a Bible school. So let's talk about the mission of a Pentecostal Bible school. What is the mission of a Bible school? Let's think about this Bible school right here. Assembly Bible College, is that the name of it?
Yeah.
How many students are presently in this school?
35.
Hallelujah, that's a good number. What is the purpose of this school? Someone says it's to train ministers. But that's not a purpose with feet. That purpose doesn't have feet. It doesn't take us anywhere. This is not just any Bible school. This is the Assemblies of God Bible School. The purpose of the Bible school is to fulfill the mission of the church. This Bible school exists to fulfill the mission that God has given this church. And the mission of the church is to fulfill the mission of God. So that means this Bible school is here to fulfill God's mission in Lesotho and beyond. And so Acts 1-8, does this school have a mission statement?
No, Colossians mission statement.
I think it probably does, most do. But if that mission statement doesn't line up with the mission statement of the book of Acts, then something
must be, something must be changed. Jesus gave the church its mission statement in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses. In Jerusalem. And in all Judea. And Samaria. And to the ends of the earth. Let's talk about some of the goals of the school. There must be some things we're trying to accomplish. Now, as you see, we've listed five goals here. I'm teaching from John Easter's notes here. Dr. Easter says there's five purposes of a Pentecostal Bible school. Number one is to keep the church Pentecostal. The Bible school is the keeper of the flame. They say in primitive societies, you know, they would have a fire in the village, but they didn't know how to start the fire. So they had to keep the fire going all the time. So when people wanted to light their fire, they would go to the fire and then they would carry it back to their house. And there was a person who was a very important person. He was the keeper of the flame. He was the one that would ensure that the fire was always burning. Because when the fire went out, they would have to wait for lightning or something to start another fire. The Bible school is the keeper of the flame. The Pentecostal Bible school must keep the flame of Pentecost alive in the church. And in order for that to happen, the flame must continually burn in the Bible school. If we want to fill our Bible school up with students, you must have revival in the Bible school. You live in Africa. I think you know that. You cannot build a Bible school in Africa without revival in that Bible school. You know, in Malawi, for years, they would say the Bible school is the place you go to lose the anointing. So stay away from the Bible school. They will give you exams. They will make you read books. But you will not be praying. And when you finish, you will have many things in your head, but nothing in your heart. That's what they said. And we said we must change this. So our first job in Malawi was to see revival come to the Bible school. And in those days we had 30 students, just like you had. And we began to preach on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And God began to pour out His Spirit again and again. The students would be filled with the Holy Spirit. One of the teachers came to me and he said, "We have to stop this revival." He said, the students are doing strange things. He said, two students were shaking hands. And they greeted each other in tongues. I said, well, this is bad.
I said, this
is not good. But I said, at least we can explain to them this is not right, but let's keep the revival going. But the revival continued. And then we began to go to the churches. And we have formed teams in the Bible school. And they would go out and preach on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And God was moving sovereignly by His Spirit. And we would preach on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we would talk about the Bible school. And the Bible school began to grow. One term, we had three terms a year. Each was 11 weeks. We went from 30 students. Next term we had 57. Next term we had 62. Next term we had 75. Next term we had 81. Next term we had 90 something. Next term we had 111. Next term we had 125. Revival's going in the church school. Revival's going in the church. Next term we had 163. Next term 171. Next term 181. Next term we broke 200. Right now they have 225 in the school. And it's because in the Bible school we said we are going to have Pentecostal revival. The Pentecostal Bible school is the place you go to experience the Spirit. And so we had spiritual emphasis in the Bible school. I know a Bible school that has one spiritual emphasis a year. We had 9 spiritual emphases a year. 3 every term. We had a Holy Spirit emphasis. That's where we went all week. We preach on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Just in the morning chapel. Then we had a missions emphasis. First full week of school. We'd preach missions. The students would make faith promises to give to missions, to plant churches. And that was just in the mornings. But then we would have one spiritual emphasis, where we invited a speaker from outside. Morning and evening. But we wanted revival. The Bible school exists to keep the revival alive. Here's some other things. The Bible school exists to fulfill the Great Commission. Jesus said, go make disciples of all men. The Great Commission is not just to get people saved, but to make disciples. This is how Paul put it in the book of Romans. He said, God has called me to bring the Gentiles into obedience to the gospel of Christ. We exist to bring people into obedience to the gospel of Christ. And then to mobilize those people to take the gospel to others. Another function of the Pentecostal Bible School is to keep the church biblical. In Pentecostalism today, There are many doctrines being taught that are not biblical. And our people are being led astray. Because we have not taught them the Bible well enough. But the Bible school is not just to keep us in revival, but to keep us focused on the Bible. The Bible school is very important. The Bible school exists to train Pentecostal ministers. Now, when someone leaves the Bible school, what should they be able to do? Someone begins the Bible school, and they go maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years, maybe 4 years. I don't know what program you had. In Malawi, we had a 2-year program, a 3-year program, a 4-year program. The 2-year program, we trained in Chichewa. And in the vernacular, we trained people in the, and these were mostly people from the rural areas. We had a 3-year diploma program. And then we had a 4-year degree program. But every program had the same goals. When a man or a woman comes into the Bible school, after their time in the Bible school, what do we want them to look like? What kind of character do we want them to have? What do we want them to know? What do we want them to be able to do? Well, that's a whole conference in itself. But let me focus on one or two things. When that person graduates from Bible school, that person should be able to preach under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That person should know how to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. That person should be able to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That person should be able to cast out demons in the name of Jesus. This is part of the training of a Pentecostal Bible school. In this school, are you teaching people how to cast out demons? Are you teaching them how to hear the voice of God? Teaching them how to lay hands on the sick? Does everyone graduating from this Bible school know how to preach on the baptism in the Holy Spirit and see people filled with the Spirit? Now, there's many good things you're going to get from the curriculum from America. Many good things. But we need to ensure that our curriculum is very, very Pentecostal. And not only are we training ministers, but the Pentecostal Bible School should also be training members. Maybe in evening classes. Maybe in seminars in the areas. Very practical type training. This needs to be part of our thinking as a Bible school. Now let's talk about the ethos or the culture of a Bible school. You know, every Bible school has a culture. The culture is like the atmosphere, the air. It is just there. We don't know it's there, but it's there. And you know, it's like whether it's hot or cold, you know. I was in Chad, up in the Sahara Desert. Oh, you sweat. In Chad, they have people with pails of water. And they walk around in the church giving people drinks of water because everyone is sweating. Now the people from Chad, they didn't seem to mind it very much, but for me it was very bad. But that's part of the ethos. But here we're talking more about the academic and the spiritual ethos. If you'll see in the book under B, the Pentecostal Bible school must cultivate a culture of the Spirit. The Spirit must be present in every one of our classes. The teacher must go into that class full of the Spirit. Let me tell you a story. Recently, I was teaching in Malawi. In Malawi, they have a graduate program. It's master's level. It's called All Nations Theological Seminary. And I was teaching on the work of the Spirit. That's what I teach on that school. And so every morning we would begin with 30 minutes to an hour of prayer. I would tell the students, I will be in the class 30 minutes early and I will be praying. And I invite you to join me. And so I have some nice music going, and we're praying. And we had in the Bible school, one of the students was a teacher at the Nazarene Bible College. He was also one of the officers in the Malawi Nazarene Church. And so as we were teaching, I said, you know, I think the Lord is telling us we need to pray. Is there anyone who needs prayer? And this man says, God is speaking to me. He wants to fill me with the Spirit right now. Now we're studying on the master's level. This is not certificate level. This is master's level. And I said, let's pray for him. We will pray for you. I called him by name. And there was one man on this side, one on this side. One on this side was a man by the name of Leonard Mwandu. He's a Malawian. The other on the other side is the Assistant General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God in Gabon. His name is Arthur Mba. And they laid hands on this man. And he began speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. I've been following him. He said to me, you know, you probably should not publish this in your newsletter about me being filled with the Spirit because it would cause me problems in my church. You know, he's teaching in their Bible school after all. I contacted him later. He said, well, don't worry. He said, I was in a meeting with my brethren and God came upon me and I began speaking in tongues. I said, well, how's your wife? How's she accepting this? He said, oh, she has no problem. When we married, I told her to quit speaking in tongues. She used to speak in tongues. And so now she's been refilled with the Holy Spirit. We must cultivate a culture of the Spirit. That doesn't mean every classroom will be a Pentecostal revival. You know, you have to take exams. You have to do all of those things. But don't let that push out the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the Pentecostal Bible School must develop a culture of mission. Every class taught in the Bible school is a missions class. If you're teaching math, then you're teaching them how to keep books on the mission field. Everything we do is missions. And so let's keep the focus of the school missionary. In our Bible school in Malawi, we planted a church every term. The Bible school planted a church. Every time we had a term, we would take the students out, plant a church. And then we received offerings in the Bible school, and those offerings supported the pastors that were in the church. And our idea was, if we're not planting churches in the Bible school, then they're not going to plant churches when they leave the Bible school. The only way to teach church planting is to plant churches. Well, our principal, he was a very aggressive church planter. I was in Malawi 2 years ago. And in 3 weeks, this man had planted 3 churches. I'm telling you. You just point him this direction and he goes and plants the church. Then you point him this direction and he goes and plants. He planted a church for the Bible school, for the district, and for the section that week. I mean in 3 weeks. But that year we planted 9 churches from the Bible school. I'm telling you, the Bible school must be a place that plants churches and reaches the lost. We are not training people how to read books. Now they must know how to read books. But that is not an end in itself. It is a means to the end of fulfilling the mission of God. So we need to keep our Bible school missionary. And we must keep our Bible school Pentecostal. Let's talk about the curriculum. The curriculum of a Bible school is everything you do in the Bible school. That's the curriculum. Now it involves the courses you take. See, this is how you develop curriculum. You say, what is the mission of the church? What kind of people do we need to fulfill that mission? Now that will determine what subjects we teach in order to create those people to fulfill that mission. It will also influence the ethos, the character, the culture of the Bible school. And so I'm saying all that to say we must Pentecostalize our curriculum. In Malawi, we were forced to write some of our own courses because we didn't find them there. One of the courses we wrote was how to minister in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. Another course we wrote was the kingdom of God. How do you advance the kingdom of God in a Pentecostal fashion? Another course we wrote was walking in the Spirit, life in the Spirit. How do you live in the Spirit? We just felt like these were necessary courses to train Pentecostal ministers. So we began to take control of our own curriculum. Now, many of the courses we were receiving before, they helped us. They were good. But we said it's not enough just to add Pentecostal type courses. We must also Pentecostalize every one of our courses. So when we're teaching personal evangelism, we have to bring the Holy Spirit in. Now, let me ask you a question. How can you teach evangelism without talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit? But the book we were teaching out of didn't say anything about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. How can you teach evangelism in a Pentecostal Bible school without talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit? We are Pentecostal people. Let's be Pentecostal. We believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We believe in planting churches. We believe in confronting demons in the power of God. We believe God will give us dreams and visions and guide us in the mission. We are Pentecostal. Let's be Pentecostal. Let's make our Bible school Pentecostal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, that's what I believe. Our curriculum should be aimed at producing ministers. This is B3, if you're following. Ministers who are Pentecostal in understanding. Pentecostal in experience. And Pentecostal in practice. And we talked about all of those and what it means to be Pentecostal. The most important factor in Pentecostal training is the Pentecostal teacher. I remember one of the teachers came to me in Malawi. He was my good friend, Lawrence Chappell. Do you know Chipao? Oh, Chipao's a wonderful man. He's one of my best friends. But in those days, he was just a young man. But he was teaching. He was doing a fine job. But he came to me and he said, Pastor Miller, he said, do you have a cassette tape? You know, in those days, we had cassette tapes. He said, a cassette tape of someone giving a message in tongues and interpretation. I said, oh, well, Lawrence, why do you need that? He said, I'm teaching pneumatology. And we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he said, there are some students in my class who have never heard in tongues and interpretation. And I said, Lawrence, I don't have such a tape. I'm sorry. I said, but I've got a better idea. Why don't us teachers get full of the Holy Spirit? And why don't we demonstrate for the students what tongues and interpretation looks like? We're teachers. You teach divine healing by going out and healing the sick and then talking about it. That's how you teach Pentecostally. And so God began moving. We were being filled with the Spirit. And even to this day, I was in the chapel just some recent time. It's very orderly. Someone gives a message in tongues. Someone interprets the message. And then there's another step in Malawi. Then someone translates that message into another language that people can understand. If the interpretation is in English, it's translated into Chichewa. And if the interpretation is Chichewa, it's translated into English. Very orderly, very edifying. But these things must be regular occurrences in our chapel services. And if they're not, we must set ourselves to prayer. I remember when I was a pastor. You know, I pastored for 22 years. I was a pastor just like you. You know, dealing with members that are, you know, won't come to church and don't pay their tithes. I was a pastor. I know of all of these things. You have a prayer meeting and they don't show up. I know, I was a pastor. I've been there. But I remember complaining to God one day. I said, God, I said, we don't have anybody in this church who moves in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I said, I need help. Send somebody, God. And God spoke to me. He calls me by my last name, by the way. I don't know why. He said, Miller. He said, you're the pastor of that church. You show them how to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I said, but God, I don't know how to do this. Nobody ever taught me. He said, well, I will teach you. So I began reading the Gospels and seeing how Jesus did it. And I remember going to my congregation. And I said, God wants this to be a Pentecostal church. And to be Pentecostal means more than speaking in tongues and clapping your hands. We need to see all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in our church. And I said to my people, I don't know how to do that. There's nobody here that knows how to do it. I said, but I invite you to come on a journey with me. And together we're going to learn how to move in the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to make some mistakes. And so they said, we'll come with you, Pastor. And so we began to pray and we began to study from the Word. And I would say, okay, you know, we've asked God to speak to us. Let's see if God will speak. I said, now let's pray. Oh God, you give words of knowledge. Speak to us. I said, now is God speaking to anybody? If you think God is speaking to you, you say it and we will try it and see if it works. I said, and if we mess up, then we'll know that's not the way. We'll try another way. You have the permission to fail. One day one lady said, Pastor Miller, I believe God is showing me that someone in this church has some kind of ailment. I don't remember. And I said, well, let's see if that's true. Let's see if this was God. Is there anyone here that has that? One person said, that's me. See, I was already teaching them how to minister in the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, Lonnie, if God gave you the word of knowledge, I guess He wants you to pray for this lady. And so the lady comes up. And I'm watching Lonnie over there. And we taught them, you know, how you talk to the people. And we taught them. And so I watched Lonnie. And she had never prayed for anybody like this before. And I watched her. She was talking to the person. And then I saw her lay hands on the person and begin to pray. And the person began to say, I'm healed. God has healed me. It's gone. It's gone. And Lonnie looked over at me and her eyes were about this big around. Like, what's going on here, Lonnie was saying with her eyes. But we've got to become Pentecostal. And our Bible school must be places where our students can try to give a message in tongues and fail. And we can say, nice try, nice try. You missed it. But nice try. We'll try again next time. Can't we do that? We're talking now about the spiritual life of the Bible school. Chapel must never become a place where you get together to make announcements. It's the time we meet for 15 minutes to make announcements. Now you can make announcements in the chapel. That's not what I'm saying. But it must be a place where we come together to pray and seek God till His Spirit reigns upon us. And people encounter God. I remember one time in the chapel, God led me to preach a sermon from John chapter 3. Marvel not that I say unto ye, you must be born again. We have about 200 students out there plus teachers. And I say, God told me to preach, you must be born again. These are Bible school students. But God said, preach on, you must be born again. And I preached, and two students came up. I don't know what was going on in their heart. But they said, oh, I need to get right with God. So let's have Pentecostal Bible School. We must be Pentecost in our mission. You will receive power and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Our culture must be Pentecostal. Our curriculum and our spiritual life. So we believe in Pentecostal Bible schools. There's an organization in the Assemblies of God in Africa. It's called Africa's Hope. And according to Dr. Easter, they're coming to visit you. This is, I've just given you Easter's outline. They want to help you make your school Pentecostal. Well, I'm not saying it's not. I don't know your Bible school. I don't know. But I know how most of our Bible schools are. They need revival just like we do. I want our Bible school teachers and principals, visiting teachers, those kind. Anyone who works with the Bible school. Okay, is this all? Is there others? I want us to pray for these people. You know, if the church doesn't value the Bible school, then the Bible school cannot help the church. There is nothing more important than a Bible school. I hope your church every month is giving money to the Bible school. You can give something until you can give more. Everybody can give something. This Bible school is the most important place in this church, in this country, this Bible school. If your decade of Pentecost plans fail, it will be because this Bible school failed. If they succeed, it will be because this Bible school succeeds. Brothers, I invite you, come and lay hands on these guys. I'll stand behind them, you stand in front. Everyone stand. And let's pray for these guys. Father, I lay hands on these men of God. Oh God, I pray that your Spirit will be upon them. God, that they will have a true decade of Pentecost Bible school here. Lord, that you'll help them. Help them just like you helped me, Lord. Lord, there's so much we don't know, but so much we need to know, but we're willing. Oh God, I'm willing. Help me. Oh God, pray. In the name of Jesus, I pray.